shall bow our heads once again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us in the Sunday school this morning. Thank you for the testimonies of your children. Thank you for the worship service. Thank you for special numbers. We are grateful unto you for all you have done for us since we came to your house this morning. Lord, and we surrender ourselves unto you, that you will have your way in the life of every one of us. We have not come, O God, to see ourselves, but we have come to see you. Dear Lord, we pray that you not allow the enemy to defeat this purpose in the life of any of us. May we see you truly, dear God. May we go with something today, O God, that will make our heart to rejoice unto your coming. Lord, that we came to your presence. Your prophet said that no one ever come to your presence and go back the same. He says either the person goes better or worse. May we not go worse, dear Father. Let your face shine upon us, Lord. Thank you for last week, all the blessings we received from you. We trust that this week will be greater than last week, O God. Send help unto us as we have need of you, Lord. While we are praying for ourselves, we are also asking for every gathering where the saints are assembled in this city, in the rest of the places in Nigeria and other nations of the world. May you visit your people. May you help your servant, dear Father. Lord, as you faithfully, O God, present your word to your people, may the Holy Spirit put this word in the heart of each one, Father. May you quicken it and make it to do its work and accomplish its purpose. Be with our brother at Bakatare. Be with your servant, our pastor in the U.S. Lord, keep him in good health and make him a channel of blessing to your people wherever we minister today. Thank you, dear Father. We trust, Lord, that whatsoever need that we brought to church today, that at the end of the service, it will turn to a testimony. Let your name be glorified, Father. Thank you for your daughter that put to bed this last week. We are grateful unto you. We trust that the rest of them, you will also see them through, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. We ask these petitions with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring greetings from the pastor. Send his greetings when we spoke yesterday. Let's listen to this announcement. This one is the burial ceremony of Brother Femi is bringing greetings from the Oluwarote means to the church. The burial ceremony of late Chief Sunday E. Ainerua lying in state will be on Thursday 26th of October, which is this month now, 2023, at 3 p.m. at his residence at Apana, Uzaire, Edo State. Then the burial ceremony, that's the interment, be on Friday, 27th of the month, that's next day after that, October 2023. The reception follows immediately at Esule Primary School, Afana, Zaire, time 12 p.m. This announcement is from the Oyas. That is the burial of the father or sister Ruth. Yes. Let's be in prayers for them for the preparation, provision, and joining mercies when the time comes. All right. Okay. This one is concerning generator, said this to remind the brethren about their contribution towards the purchase of a new diesel generator. Well, God have mercy upon us. The almost every service now, the thing is making some. We trust God will make a way before it will finally collapse. We announced it last Sunday also. So keep announcing and trust the Lord too. I've said that the load of the church, the electrical load, is about 16 kVA. So we need a generator that's up to 20 kVA, which costs 5.5 million, out of which we have 1 million. We told God to be merciful unto us. We have some visitors with us. Mr. Isaac Idris. Who is Mr.? Okay. God bless you. You can have your seat. Thank you. God bless you. Mr. Patrick Obo. God bless you, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr. Adebayo Temitope. I think. God bless you, sir. Miss Adebayo Deborah. God bless you. Okay. Yeah, I think Brother Gloria and his friend decided not to regard themselves as visitors. But we used to see them once in a blue moon. So that Brother Glory in white. I can't remember the name of his friend. God bless you, Brother Glory. God bless you. We have these people who has a bad day. I think this week that just finished, Sister Sarah Falaju, Elizabeth Olabanji, Daniel Mercy Omotosho. It looks as if Sister Nelson also heard about it. Is it this week or last week? I'm not seeing your hand. Yeah. Daniel Messi, we have mentioned. Okay. His own body also was. That's a Falaju boy, Abi. Same. So, it's the same week with the senior sister. And Sister Nelson, is it this week that ended? All right. And it looks as if Brother Brother Josiah Oladimeji also is to Brother Josiah Oladimeji is also today. Michelle Idiage. I think it's the same day with the new baby. So be singing happy birthday for this long train of people. Sister Sarah Falaju. What's the name of Okala now? Daniel Falaju, Elizabeth Olabanji, Daniel Mercy Omotosho, Sister Nancy, Brother Josiah Oladimeji, and Mitchell Idiaga. So the brothers will sing for sisters while the sisters will sing for brothers. Well, if I remember anything, maybe when we are closing, if I remember, then I will pass the announcement. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Flow to me, flow to me. Holy Spirit, flow.
Sadie, you are welcome after quite some time. God bless you. Romans chapter 8. We'll read the first 11 verses, then Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. You can have your seat, please. In the Sunday school, we made a brief review of part of this subject of the Holy Spirit in every age that we have gone through, and want to see if the Lord will help us to finish with this topic this service is our desire. Where we reach in the Sunday school, we are talking about predestination, the way the prophet brought it here and told us of people that hear God's word and they repent, and some went further to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the right step in the right direction. He said, but they don't go on to receive the Holy Spirit. And at the end of it, he told us that we can see that very few will ever believe all the way to receiving the Spirit of God. So we want to, from here, move further. Tracing this special group of people that the prophet said, they are the only ones in every age that will be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in every age. He called them a very special group of people. God said the ability to hear from God, they said no man of his own can do that. He said that ability has to be given him of God. Amen. So now the prophet now went further, talking yet about this predestination, because in the Sunday school we made reference, as the prophet did, to the 2 million Israelites that left Egypt, how they moved through the wilderness. The prophet had told us in so many sermons that Egypt represents the world, and that the Hebrews, while they were in Egypt, they were the people of God. And that when they hear the voice of God and they came out, he said that is what made them to become the church of God in the wilderness, according to Acts chapter 7. And he told us that the meaning of church is called out once. That is the one that is called out and he responds. The one that is called out that does not respond can never be the church of God. And in the wilderness, he told us, especially the teaching he did in the message, the ever-present water from the rock. The prophet told us, he explained these stages in that message. He told us in that sermon that when the people of Israel had the message through Moses that God has called them, and they saw the signs that God gave unto Moses, and he showed it before them, say they were convinced that Moses was actually sent of God, and then they were willing to follow him. Nevertheless, according to the gospel of Brother Paul in Acts chapter 10, it was mixed multitude that left Egypt. And all this multitude, 2 million, went through water baptism, according to the scriptures. Say they were all baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea. But the scripture went further to say, he said, but with many of them, that God was not well pleased. And he itemized some of the things that they were doing that made God not to be pleased with them. And if you check millions and millions of people around the world today that are baptized correctly, let's leave those who don't even know what water baptism is. Millions of people that are baptized correctly, you still find out that when you put them on the pages of the scripture, we can still conveniently say that with many of them, the Lord is not well pleased. Out of the 2 million that left Egypt, only two, which means I wrote on the board that day, 1,998 people. They are the ones that God was not pleased with. Only two people he was pleased with. And looking at predestination, the only language that the we can put safely in the scripture is to say that these ones, these 2 million less two, they were not ordained unto life. No, the great great grandchildren of these people met Jesus Christ while he was here. You are saying that you are born in fornication. We have Abraham to our own father. Our father, let's give you some testimony in case you don't know. Our fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written that he gave them manna from heaven, and they were filled up. Jesus Christ, it was not Moses that gave them that bread, it was my father that gave them the bread. He said, but every one of them, they are all dead. And the prophet said that the meaning of death means that they are eternally separated from God. They ate the manna quite all right. They drank of the spiritual rock. It has never been on the surface of the earth in history that a physical rock is mobile as to have tire below it that is rolling it. Because the Bible told us that they drank of this rock, he said, and said the rock followed them. Because from that time, they were traveling. These people were, they were not staying in one place, they were moving. And from the time that they drank from this rock, they drank and they were moving. And every time they are thirsty, they are to drink from that same source. So if it is physically like a tap that is running here, if you move from here to another layer, you are thirsty again, you cannot expect to drink from this same tap. I say that tap is following you. And in this wilderness, there are no water corporation that has channeled anything along the journey that this is where they will be drinking. When you get there, drink here. No, 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 no. That same rock, it was moving and following them. How many things will they look at when you talk of miracles, signs, and wonders that will make them to believe if they are God's own children? If you read about the account of the dealing of God with these people in the scripture, you will know that you take a serpent seed not to believe. And will you tell me too that that God has died? Will you tell me that that same God is no more powerful? Will you tell me that that same God is no more doing things today that should make somebody to say that this is God on the scene? On daily basis, he does things. For those that have eyes to see, he does things. He walks in mysterious ways. He's wonders to perform. So many things that he does on daily basis. Some of them you see, some you don't see. And it's better that you don't even see. Because the one you see sometimes, you first of all have to go through some attic before you see it. But things happen on daily basis. May the Lord be gracious unto us. But these people, they couldn't just believe. Why wouldn't they be able to believe? Is it that God is not God? Is it that he's not powerful? Is it that he's not faithful? Is it that they call upon him and he did not answer? No will be the answer. But because before if somebody is not part of this special group that we are talking about, he won't have eyes to see what you ought to see, and he will not have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Let's move further now. In the scripture that was read in the early part, or we can still read more scripture, the prophet gave several scriptures here in the book of St. John chapter 6, verse 37 and 44. The prophet quoted, say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Then in 44th verse, he said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. If you go to St. John chapter 1, he went further to say verse 12, I believe, and 13. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. As many as received him, to them, even to them that believe on his name, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He said, which were born,
not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. It's not the will of man, it's not the will of the flesh, it's not of blood and flesh, it is by God that those people were born. Those who received him, they are the one he gave power. This power we are talking about is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, in verse Ephesians chapter 1, the scripture told us there, let's read verse 4 and 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. He said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And the prophet said that without getting too involved in the subject of sovereignty, we know that God is sovereign, is he? He is sovereign. He does what pleases him. But this sovereignty is not just existing now. The prophet said, let me point out that according to these verses, that Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride just the same as men choose their brides today. The bride today does not simply decide she is going to take a certain man for a husband. Can a woman do that? It's contrary to nature. Amen. The prophet said, no, sir. It is the groom who decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. The only place where the choice of a woman comes is that if a man comes and asks for your hand, you have the right to say yes or no. You can say yes and you can say no. It's the right you have. But once you say yes, that ends the matter. Amen. You have to serve under your decision. Amen. So Jesus said in St. John chapter 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, just as it is physically, so is it spiritually. You don't choose God. In fact, the prophet said that the nature of a sinner is that he runs away from God. He said Adam was the one that showed that one in the Garden of Eden. When he did what was wrong, he was hiding. And up to today or tomorrow, that is still the nature of a sinner. When a sinner does what is wrong, he will still be running away from God. He will be hiding himself. And if he's going to come out at all, you will see him wrap himself with fig leaves, which is religion. But nothing covers sin in the sight of God. The only person that can appear before God is the one that is ready to repent. When you are making excuses for yourself, the reason I do this one, look, if God is going to take excuses, nobody will go to hell. You think anybody will go to hell? Nobody, everybody have reason why they did what they did. The one that is smoking cigarette will tell you that it was when he was having a cold in the chest. That is when he now. Who tell you that cigarette is now the one to cure cold? Was it doctor that gave you that recommendation or God that gave the recommendation? The one that is a thief, he will say that I didn't have anything to eat, so the only way is to be stealing. Even the law of the land will not pardon you for that. As we are giving you something, they are pushing you towards where they will ask you to spend some time with people of life precious. Yes. They will do it. One time when we were working in the East and at the Bonny State, I went there to buy chippings. And the natives, they are the one that, because the rock was in their place. And I gave money to somebody to help me to buy something and I will load it and go to where I come from. He went to go and use the money to start business.
I said, this man does not know who he's dealing with. So then, when I got there, where is the something? He was talking language. So I went to the police station. I told them there. I said, okay. As you give them money for fuel, I give them 2,000 and I fuel your car. So when we got there, he had disappeared. They met two guests in his office. They put those ones inside the police station. So within a short time, other people came for those two guests. The police told them that the man that hired this girl, if he does not surface here, these ones are entering inside the something. In a few minutes, himself surfaced. Then he began to blow language to them because he know I'm a Yoruba man. Then he said, even their own Igbo is not even their Ebonyi people. They have their own language that Igbo will just be looking at them like this one. Is what will be hearing. But when law is involved, language no help. My presence like this. Man, go say, hey, cannot lock me up now. I said, no, just move. Because when they ask him to write something, he just told him, do your work. They push him inside. It was on a Friday. Then they were telling me that as you wait, this and that. I said, if the money is here, then I'll take the money and go. If it's not here, I'm going to Port Harcourt because I travel every weekend. As I didn't see anything on time within a few minutes, I drove. I went to Port Harcourt. Before I came on Monday, the money was complete. It was complete. So when I got there, the DCO, District Crime Officer, said, Oga, come on. Police have done this work now. Another Amrabah. Say, Oga, come. Police have done this work. We work the work and the money is here now complete. Say, that's very good. Say, now, so what is left now? You see? Normally, police will take this and that. Out of 35,000, say they will take 15. I said, Oga, look me very well for face. If I'm not going with this money 100%, I won't pick one kobo out of it. I said, as I'm standing now, I'm working on a project that three state governments are on it. And I have a document that is signed by Deputy Governor, Secretary and things of all these three states. So if I don't return the money envelope, the material must follow me. Either of the two. But if you are the one that wants to keep the money, I know that the money is here. Bye-bye. He said, no. What I'm saying is that like we use money to run around. As I gave 2,000 out to your boys to fuel the car. He said, who collect the money? Ima, come here. Then catastrophe start among them. Ima, I sit down here working. If you are collecting money, they are eating. So yeah, if that money is not on my table in the next minute, so I put somebody here now. He said, okay, I carry my money and go. I carry my money and go. Olegba, Olegba. You see, in this country, it's full of rogues. May God have mercy upon us. The entire humans that are on earth, there is a little percentage of them that are God's own children. In the majority. And because God is infinite, he knows the end from the beginning. When the prophet was tracing the history of God, he said God was not God initially. Because God means an object of worship. He said when he was self-existing, he said, the name he has at that time, he said it cannot be pronounced. You know, it's a prophet that is talking. He said his initial name was J-V-H-U. You that study phone, or you pronounce it. What you will pronounce, because this thing, J is a vowel, is it? Or a consonant? Consonant. Vinko, consonant. So how do you now pronounce consonant, consonant? That's why they were like. Abraham said, it cannot be pronounced. It's just from here they formed Jehovah. He said, but that was what he was bearing when he was self-existing. Nobody is with him.
He does not take counsel with no man. Nobody take counsel with him. He said he was just all alone like that by himself. He said that was God before the beginning. He said it was when he created the angels that cannot be called God, because the angels cannot worship him. Because God is an object of worship. It was in that state of JVHU that God was, when he was taking counsel with himself, when he was planning his future, as it were, he was planning his family, his wife, his children, and how they are going to, how is he going to bring them out? How, if he bring them out from perfection to perfection, then how is he going to prove? That was when he thought of a world that is going to be, and that this world, when this world come to be, if only his own children are here, and there is nothing to give them a trial, like you go to school. Majority of people here have gone through school. When you go to school, the only thing that distinguishes before between the one that is successful and the unsuccessful is what? Exam. Both the brilliant and the dullard are taught. Both the trans and the absentees, latecomers, and everybody, they are all students. The one that just choruses to join people and say, when the teacher said, do you understand? Yes. All of them pay school fees. All of them buy uniform. All of them buy shoe. They all have school bag and so on and so forth. They all come to school. And but at the end of it all, exam will prove who actually the school has passed through. Many will pass through the school, but the school never passed through them. But exam will prove that. The lecturer doesn't look at face and say, this one is fine in the face, and any lecturer that do that one, something is wrong with the fellow. So God Almighty knew that for his children to come out and become and be called an overcomer, there has to be something that they will have to go through and overcome. And God does not tempt anybody with evil. Neither is he tempted with evil. But he knew that there is one person that can do this job, that is Satan. And this Satan must also have his own children. So God, the great designer, he designed it, he knew the number of children he will have, and he knew how many of them will be in every age. They are not the same number, but he knew how many of them will be in every age. And not only that, he compiled their name in a book to himself that you cannot see with your naked eyes. And he had a book that have two volumes, part A, part B, and part A of it comprised, he called that one the book of life. Part B, he called it the last book of life of the same book. And he put the name of his children there. In this part A, the book of life, there are names that are in that place that he's still going to delete. In new order, because it's infinite. Am I speaking German? Judas was with them in Matthew 10 when they went and cast out devil, and they came back and said they were rejoicing, say, because the devil was subject to us in your name. He said, don't rejoice because of this one. He said, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Their names were in the book of life. But the prophet said that session, names can be removed there. He said, but those whose names are transferred to this land book of life, they are the one that the Lamb came to die for. The devil was in God's part of God's program, and when he was going to do it, he made him his associate. He was the vice president. And as we listened last Sunday, there was something inside of him which is covetousness, ambitions that are ungodly, which the Bible make it known that these are the thoughts in the heart of Lucifer. These are the things he wants to achieve. A position that does not belong to you. Something that is not yours. You want to get it by all means. And he was the first politician. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, that put everything, when he created the angels, then he created Lucifer, which was the second in command. Then this Lucifer was the angelic form, we call it, of Satan. And he began to campaign. The Bible told us in the book of Revelation that he deceived the thought. Brother Abraham said that this thought that the Bible spoke about, he said, is the two thought. In today's constitution, when you get the signature of two thought of the House of Rep, the president stands automatically impeached. So, when you talk about gathering signature, he has gathered the signature of the two-thirds of the angels. And the president, he has convinced them, like Absalom convinced the people, to bring this out to himself. Very cunning, very beautiful, eloquent. And he did all that. And God Almighty was there as if he didn't know what was going on. But he knew every bit. Even before they start, he knew it. But just get quiet and was looking at them. And sometimes, when we think as if God has gone to sleep, he is not sleeping. When we think that he's not looking, he is looking. He's looking. If you are doing good, you will get the reward. Don't think that all your effort that God is not, he is seeing it. When the time comes for reward, you will collect. If you're also doing otherwise, you and think nobody is seeing. People are seeing, and if people does not see, God sees. There is also a day of reckoning when nemesis may catch up with you. Then finally, there was grumbling among the something. The other third part of the angel that disagreed with them. They were fusing with the other ones. No, nobody can. They impeach the president. You can't have another kingdom. This one, this is. Then finally, God, what is going on? He said, now Lucifer, what is it about? Then they brought the matter. Then the prophet said, the archangel Michael, which is Jesus Christ in his angelic form, he pounced on Lucifer and these two thoughts of his angel, just fold them up like something like this and throw them to this earth. And then the prophet said that from that time, that the battles of angels become the battles of men. And that is why from that time it has been impossible for any human being without the Spirit of God to overcome. Because what angels could not overcome? Man, you flesh and blood, what overcome? You that was born in sin, that was shaped in iniquities, that come to the world speaking lies, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all of them are sinners. Then you want to overcome without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the Spirit of Christ, it is impossible. Because this man that deceived angels in heaven is here. And once he landed here, the existing world then was just the Garden of Eden. Eden itself was a desert. The garden that God planted in the east of Eden, that they call the headquarter of the earth. The prophet said, he landed there. That's where the only population that was on earth, Adam and Eve, were. And he knew that, he knew where he was coming from. That he was defeated in that place. And the people that defeat him is the original. And he looked on this earth that there is an original also here. And that is Adam. If I bring up this matter where Adam is, no way. So he planning that it should be when Adam is away from home. Then I'll just go and meet the byproducts. Who cannot see, who doesn't know where I come from. That is the one I will deal with. Then he came to meet Eve with a question. Has God said, like some people will say, did the message even say? Did the message say that so is actually wrong? Thou seest. Whatever you understand from the message, go and do. By this time that we did, there are two things. Brother Abraham said, in the scriptures, It is said that every woman be have conscience. He said, we have conscience. He said, and if our heart does not condemn us, we have access, liberty, confidence towards God. He said, but if our heart condemns us, then God is greater. So the first instructor of human being, the first correction of human being, is the conscience. There is no human being that the conscience is still alive. That you put your hand to do anything that is contrary to God's word, that the conscience will not raise an alarm. That this thing is wrong. Which question are you asking me? Keep your question to yourself. Ask your conscience. Is this thing good or bad? The first preacher of every human being is the conscience. Even little children have it. Even animal have it. Animal has it. Then come and be asking me funny, funny questions. I don't have time for those ones. The Bible says, avoid foolish questions. If I see that the question is a foolish one, then I won't have time for it. Then if a byproduct, it was not there when God spoke to Adam. He had this message from Adam. He should have just said, this question you ask me, you wait when my husband come, then you come and ask. But she took it upon herself. What did it happen? That's what they are still doing today. That's what they still do today. Woman want to be in the front front. She want to be the speaker of the house. She want to do everything. And according to the analogy of a family, say they are one flesh, isn't it? And look at me. And the Bible says, according to the New Testament, that the woman is the body and the man is the head. In this head contains the mouth. So the mouth is the speaker. Is it not? Contains the eyes. The eyes, the head is one that sees. The ear is one that also hears. So everything about the family is in the head. Because the head controls the body. It is where the head says this body should go. That's where we go. If the head says the leg should stop, the leg will not move. When you hear somebody paralyzed, something happens between the organ of the head and the body. There is something that passes information that has been tampered with. That is why the leg paralyzed. And the medical and the whatever what they try to do is to activate back that nerve that joins the head and that part of the body. Once it is activated, then this one will respond. But as long as that thing is cut off, that part of the body remains useless. Until everybody know their position and stay in their position, the body cannot move. And you know that when the leg paralyzes, the whole body also cannot go anywhere. No matter what the head is wishing that I need to be at a lele, it's just a wish. They say if wishes were horses, beggars too, they will also ride. In the talk with Eve, the prophet gave some analogy. You don't know the use, how you day here and the rest of it and the rest of it. You see, the reason why God told you not to partake of that thing is because it will make you wise. And you will know like God. So that's the reason. It's not that you will be kind of. When you die, where is going to go to get other people again? You are the only one that is here. So as for death, you yourself, you know that there is no death. Well, if being a woman, being the weaker vessel, she got weaker and weaker and got weak. And she surrendered herself. And the serpent had his way, which was then an upright creature. And then that brought the judgment of God to come and so on. Now, because God had a program, that is why he allowed it. Because the prophet told us that inside of God contains thoughts, which are attributes. And in these attributes, there are things he wants to manifest, which are attributes in himself that he wants to display. He has attributes that he wants to, it's a design. His design does not have any bad thing. No, some people will say that when God knows that Satan is bad, why did he create Satan? If he did not create Satan, all this is attributes will not come out. He wants to be a savior. He wants to be a healer. He wants to be a deliverer. He wants to be everything which Adam did not need in his perfect state. Adam is perfect. He can never be sick. He does not need healing. He is not lost, so he does not need to be saved. He is not oppressed, so he doesn't need to be delivered. He doesn't have any need. He doesn't need God as a provision because all that he has in the is available. There is no power that can he himself is like God. Abraham said, God was God in heaven, Adam was God on earth. He said, and whatever Adam does on earth is the final. That was why God created every other thing and brought them to Adam to name them. Because these things are with you on this earth, you gave name to all of them. And when Adam gave name, the Bible says, the name he gave them was the name thereof. Is that the scripture? God never changed the name of anything that Adam named as long as he was in that perfect condition. It was when we human beings came and we are perverted as sinners and we begin to name things that God see that some of the name we gave, they are not okay. It was after the fall that Abraham was named Abraham. And God saw that this Abraham that is bearing does not fulfill my purpose for his life. And he changed his name to Abraham. It was after the fall that Sarah was named Sarah. He said, this one cannot fulfill God's purpose for his life. Then he changed it. And thereafter, up to the New Testament, he was still changing names. And Brother Brown said that even up to now, you still need to change your name if it is bad. Maybe your name is whatever. If you still be as Saul, you know that you'll be a destroyer. If you still be a Jacob, you know that you'll be a supplanter. And so on and so forth. Name characterizes people. Because the prophet said that the people of old, God's own children, they name their children from under inspiration. There's an inspiration that come upon them that name them. And the name they give to that child, he said that is what that child will become in future. Those names are prophetic with the child. But if your life is going, it's one of the things that Abraham said we should check. If your life is going the way it ought not to go, then you check the name you are bearing. Then you check the meaning of that name. And then check who has borne that name before. If the name no get head or tail, throw away and pick another name. There are millions of names on earth, both in the scripture and things you can bear. Amen. Even if it is in the Bible, go and find out who be that person in the Bible. Because there are plenty names in the Bible. Are they not? Is Jezebel not in the Bible? It's in the Bible. But how do you see anybody naming Jezebel now? Judas, is he not in the Bible? How do you find anybody bearing Judas now? Pilate, is he not in the Bible? How do you find anybody bearing Pilate now? So and so on and so forth. If you find out the meaning of your name, find out who has borne that name before. If nobody has borne that name before in the scripture, forget about. But in the scripture, you can find out who is this person. If that person, if you don't like the life of that person, that character. Even the government agreed that we can change our name. You go and swear affidavit. You made a newspaper publication. You attach it to your document. From henceforth, that's the name you are bearing. You tell the people that this is my name now. Nobody can by force say, why are you changing your name? It's not a question, you can change it. It's not only women that can change their name. Men can also change their name. Me, I've changed my own before. And there are people here who have also changed their name. God bless you.
Right.
So the prophet told us that the thoughts of God, they are eternal. He asked the question, are they eternal? He said, yes, they are eternal. Not only eternal, but they are also real. His thoughts and himself, they are the same. And not only is he the same, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the way you are also thinking, that is you too. So if you want to have an idea of the kind of spirit that is inside of you, you check the things you think about. Then you have known yourself. Because it is the same principle that God has that is applicable to we human beings. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you are constantly thinking of failure, definitely you will be failing. If you are constantly thinking of sickness, then you will be having sickness. If you are always talking of evil and evil, you will be seeing evil. The things that you see, the things that you hear, the activities you partake in, these are the things that actually form your thoughts. They will be coming to your heart. If you are, you will see people that play football, that even in their dreams sometimes, they will, when they are going to speak, you just see in their sleep. He scored that goal, Jared. He scored it. Inside sleep. People that play Ludo. Some will have Ludo in their room for entertainment. Maybe husband and wife. When they don't have anything to do. 2 cc, he enter. I'm just looking for 2 to enter. You see, how did he know it? I played Ludo before. Before I believe, if I sit down where Ludo is, I forget about food. I tell you, I forget about food. When I watch people playing table tennis, I will not think about hunger. Because those things carry their spirit. Yeah. That is also the way football is. It carries spirit. People that, if they can be watching, they don't think about food. It's after the football, they will now be thinking about food. I don't want to go to that place today. May the Lord be our help. So the prophet said that the heart's purpose, the eternal purpose of God, was to take a bride of his own choosing, and that purpose was in himself. And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. All this we are talking about, it was a settled program of God before the world began. It was when he was all alone that he thought about his family, his wife, his children, this earth, and how everything. The world he first of all made that is called the Garden of Eden, and the Eden that he has at that time, it was perfect. Void of war, void of sickness. There's no mosquito there that will bite people and then make you. Not that mosquito will not exist, but cannot bite people and put something inside your body. Malaria. Snake. Anything was not biting. Lion was like a kitty. Pets that people play with, that Adam and Eve play with. There was no storm that will come and destroy anything. No tree will just fall anyhow. No. Everything was cool and calm and perfect. But when Satan came, which Brother Abraham called the perverter, he was the one that changed the whole picture. He brought in sorrow. He brought in death. He brought in sickness. He brought in destruction. He brought in every evil that there is. And when he came, first of all, they came in a seed form. Because there are so many things that did not, you cannot see recorded at that time, in the early time. There are no hospitals yet. But as human beings begin to grow and science begin to, because God also have to make a way for human beings to take care of themselves here. Brabham said that it was God that opened his laboratory for science to be able to see things. He did that one so that we can help ourselves here. Because we have chosen this way and we have to survive. Permissive way was the way we bring children now. But God had to be blessing it. But he has put a curse on it in the beginning as a punishment. For what Eve did. Say because of this one, in sorrow you will bring forth. He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. It's a very terrible thing. So many women die during childbirth. On daily basis, up to now. Women still die during childbirth. If you listen to the testimony of Sister Osas, she almost go. Yes. It was God that rescued her. That happens, a labor of close to 2 full days. So we labor like that until both the woman and the child will die. In some cases, the woman will die, the child will survive. Who will take care of the child? No, the child will live, but it's a hard way. May the Lord be gracious unto us. Eve caused that. But because Adam surrendered himself to it, then God said, you Adam, curse is the ground for your sake. It will no more yield its full strength. It is in the sweat of your face you will eat all the days of your life. So man has to sweat. If you don't want to sweat, you will not eat. And if you want to eat without sweating, you may end up being a thief. And if you are caught, you pay for it. Amen. The prophet said, watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck or star dot, before God was God, God is an object of adoration, and no one was there to worship him. So he was at that time only potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. You know, we used to sing a song. I have a father. He calls me his own. And he will never leave me, no matter where I go. He said, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. And the rest of it, okay. Yeah. I have a father. Is it this one? For my heart, and before even I began, my name was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees his other thoughts and hear me where I call. And I have a father. He calls me his own. He never leave me, no matter where I go. Oh, he knows my name. Oh, he knows my every thought. He sees it as the force and hears me where I call. This is actually the first stanza. What are we talking about? While he was yet alone, the bride in their numbers from the beginning, from Adam to the last human being that will be on earth that belong to him. He has their name right in his heart. And they are engraved there. So he knows each one of them. But his people are minority in every age. The majority in their hundreds and millions, they are serpent seed. He expressed this in the book of Matthew by the parable he gave. He said the kingdom of God is like this. That a man went to sow his field. He was dressed in white. He sowed it with good seed. And then after he finished, he went to go and sleep. And then while men slept, see, another man came that was dressed in black. And he was sowing in between these seeds. He said, when the day broke, the two germinated and grew up. Then the servants looked at it and said, Master, but you planted good seed in your field. Say, from where does it come tears? He said, an enemy has done this. Then he said, then do we go and gather them up? He said, no, you can't do it. If you do, you also root up the wheat also. He said, but leave them till the time of the harvest. It's a parable. In every generation, there are plenty serpent seeds. There are some things that some people will do. You will wonder, how can somebody do like this? I saw a little clip of video during the week somebody put, where the top of people in the east cut off their head. And they were putting the head down, facing the something like this. Also. And they were videoing it. People, they remove their head. You see the head, they were putting it on the ground. Like this is a human being that does this one. That courage, that boldness to chop off another person's head as if he display me with happiness. You know that nobody can come from inside of God and have that kind of boldness. Even Saul that turned to Paul, that called himself murderer, whatever all the names he called himself, he never carried one stone to stone Stephen. That one will be too much for him. He only collected the clothes of the people that were stoning them because of the things they were pumped inside of him while he was learning in the theological school. Called, he knew that, he thought that the only way they are serving God is the only way that God accepts it. He never knew that God has already turned a corner. So he saw Stephen trying to talk about the religion that they are trying to stop. And then the people were stoning him. So he was there. They were only dropping the clothes with him. Whether it was not even the one that asked him to drop the stone with him, whether they just saw him and then begin to keep the clothes with him. He didn't have the strength to stone. Even that much that he did, he condemned him to the core when God touched him. He was arresting people. There was no record that he killed anybody. He was arresting people that were and was stop it preaching. Stop it. Scaring them and making them to just to stop the preaching. And that was what was going to go and do in Damascus when God met him on the way. And because of this one, God said he will see how much himself will suffer. And when you read the account of his life and ministry, you will know that he really suffered. Though he never stoned Stephen, but they stoned him. He never maybe beat anybody with rod, but he was beaten. 5 times, they give him 39 strokes. They beat him 1 time and believe that he was dead before they left him. But because his time has not come, breeze blew on it, and then he woke up again and continued his life. He said he suffered shipwreck. He suffered from false brethren. People that call themselves brethren. He suffered from them. He suffered from unbelievers. He suffered from church people. He went through a whole lot. Because of the small he did in his own time. Because he's a seed of God. Brother Abraham said that
Abraham, the lie he told, he said he paid for it. There is nobody that will be a seed of God that will live anyhow and go scot-free. You will pay for what you have done. Except you are not God's children. It is when you stop your own evil, that is when God will now start to now deal with you. This is a bad area of preaching, but it's part of the gospel. When God said, thou shalt not steal, does he have money that he kept somewhere that he doesn't want somebody to steal? When he said, thou shalt not commit adultery, is he afraid that somebody will go and rape his wife?
Amen.
The bride was in his thoughts. And they have their name. So every time this another day open, he look at the heart, he look at who there is having his name in his own book, then he will contact the person. After the antediluvian word, the people begin to multiply again according to the scriptures. Until they go to Genesis chapter 10. And then in Genesis chapter 11, that was where they were building the Tower of Babel. And the Bible said that their language was one. And they were all one. And they all have a single motive to build a tower. That if God ever took a notion to destroy us again, we will run off to that place. Why did they destroy us now? They actually want to build it to heaven. Maybe to go and be meeting that God self. Yeah, it did. But why did God destroy us? And God look at them, they were building it. He called the angels. Look at the children of men, see what they are doing. He allowed them to labor so for some time. Then one angel just went and scattered their language. Confusion came. Give me that block. He will stand in his ear as if your father is not correct. Bring water to me. It is sign to me that you are mad. So, in a few minutes, hours, everything scattered. What was friendly before became fight. Tell yourself you are mad. That will sound and no. Because what is coming out, every sound, the Bible says it has a meaning. Anything you utter out has a meaning in one language somewhere. That's why these people speak in tongues. They don't know whether they are cursing their own generation. Speaking in tongues in the flesh. Some will cause their generations and God will seal it with it. Yes? Nobody, you ask for it. You are the one that is saying it now. And God will seal it. When the people couldn't go on with that because they couldn't understand themselves again, then they all stopped the building and came down. And then as they were dispersed, then the father of Abraham and Abraham, they went to settle at all charges. Then God looked at his record. He didn't see Abraham's father. He didn't see Abraham's so many of his relatives. He didn't see them. He didn't see the entire family there. But he saw the name of Abraham there. He saw him as Abraham. But they have given him Abraham. Well, they have started on the name. God knows what to do to complete it. So he now looked at him and then come to him and said, Abraham, come. What has happened before? What made God to come and meet Abraham? What? Is there anything Abraham has ever done anywhere, anytime that warranted that meeting, that warranted that promises, that warranted the instruction that God is giving to him? God said, I have made you father of nations. Leave your kindred. Leave your father's house. Leave your country to a place I will show you. I will multiply you greatly. I will do like this. God was reeling out the promises. But leave this place. And how is it that Abraham was able to know that a supernatural being is talking with me? For somebody to leave his house and leave his father's house when he has not been given the address of where to go, where he has not been given to the house he will arrive where he is going, it has to be something. A supernatural relationship, both in, from both ends, from God and to the person that is hearing it. Then Abraham woke up in the morning. Because he was married, that's why Abraham said that when God called a man, if he's a married man, he said he called his wife with him. He woke up in the morning, told the wife, and they picked their one or two of their clothes, they could just, and then they left. Abandoned the house, abandoned every immovable property that is in that place. They leave it there, and they move, telling their people, we are traveling. To where? We don't know. Has this man got psychology problem? He just wake up and say he's traveling and he doesn't know where he's going. Say that, where is your husband go? Me too, I don't know. You told me that that we are traveling. When are you coming back? We don't know. It looks like there's a problem. But to Abraham, there's no problem. And they move. And they were moving. And they were moving. God didn't ask him to carry Lot. He didn't ask him to carry his father. But he felt that that's the right thing to do, that my father is old, who will take care of him? So he carried the old man. But when they get to Aram, the man died there. Then that solves half of the problem. Lot, who is the nephew, is still a young person. So they joined body and they were going. When they got to the place where God said this is the place, that is the place that there is fight today. God said this is the place. The Bible says, as yet, he doesn't have one place to put his leg there. There is no one foot to say that this is my own. He was a stranger there. He doesn't know anybody, nobody knows him. But he has to look for where to pitch tent. Maybe talk with people. Please, where can I pitch tent? I'm a sojourner now. I just come here to sojourn. Who will be asking? Look, we don't have time for sojourner here. Because when God calls somebody and he obeys, the mercy of God goes with the person. Whatsoever the person have need of along the way, God makes a way for it. If it is in obedience to God's word, when he got there, somehow he established, and then where they stay, Lot also stay close by and they begin to do their business, which is cattle, whatever. Fight every day in the camp. Fight every day in the camp. Then God came to Abraham. This is the day I told you. Then Abraham called for a meeting. Lord, I will come. You know what we do? Look at the old land. Don't look at it. There is need for us to give a distance to ourselves. Choose anywhere you want. And you know, just like last Sunday, covetousness, which is the sin of idolatry. He looked at towards Sodom, where it's blooming there. Anywhere sin is, it's always blooming. Anywhere destruction is blooming, it's always blooming. So you have to look at it very carefully when you see it's blooming. You have to pray very well when you see the tea blooming. Then he points his finger towards that. Say, I know that uncle, I know you that you are an honest man. That I know that you mean what you say. Since you say I should just choose. This area. The best of the place. That's what he choose. Covetous boy. He couldn't say, uncle, you are the one that carried me come. I don't know this place. So I beg. You choose your own. Anywhere you ask me to go, I will go. But because of what is in his heart, the Bible said that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Not yet inside Sodom, but towards Sodom. So when you see somebody leaning towards the world, the prophet said that the way a tree leans. Small. He became the chief of Sodom. But because of the knowledge of the message of the hour that he has, there was something that was too much for him. So the Bible said that his righteous soul will be vexed by the thing that was done in that place. That was the first place that Omo Jethro was recorded. It was so much until God Almighty had to leave his throne and come down.
and came to Abraham. Say, I have heard what is going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I have come to check. If it is exactly the way it is, I will wipe up the place. Abraham looked. He said, sir, since you come to tell me this, let me play my part. Because when somebody is a Christian, you are not desirous for somebody's destruction. No matter what the person have done, he can't set in your heart that it should be destroyed. He can't set in your heart that it should just be swallowed. You will do your best. He said, far be it that you, being the righteous God, you ever do evil. You can't destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. That is scripture. Yeah. If you find 50 people there, will you still destroy it? 50 people are in the place. Will you still destroy it? He said, if I see 50, I will not destroy it. Say, ah. Well, negotiation has started. Please, if we reduce by 5, what will happen? From there to 40, then you know that the journey is long. You begin to drop it 10, to 30, to 20. When it reach 20, he said, please, God, don't be angry. Only one more time I will speak. But if there are anything after this one time, I will not say anything again. If you find 10 there, for 10 righteous, a twin city, Sodom and Gomorrah, big, densely populated, and there are not 10 people there that are righteous. This is how you check the seed of God in every age. Their quantity, their numbers. That is why you see that evil is everywhere, including inside church. If I find 10, I will spare the place. Abraham was convinced, I believe, in his heart. If you find 10 there. 10 in the twin city. No, he will find 10 there. He will find 10 there. When the angels got there, they didn't find 10. In fact, they didn't find 5. The house where they lodged, the people came and besieged the place. That we had our visitors came to your house. He said, yes, they came. Bring them out. We want to know them. We want to have relationship with them. We want to rape them. In wrong language. Lord said, please, they are my visitors. I have two daughters that are virgin, never know man. Let me bring those ones. We are done with women. We are done with those ones. They are smelling. Bring men. It's men that are fresh. They just come fresh. They are the ones that want. Say, if you are not careful, we will deal worse with you than with those people. Say. And the Bible said that they came even to break the door. And while they came to break the door, the angels were inside. Then they opened the door. They bring Lot inside. And then they close the door. And then they smote the people that were around that door with blindness. And when they smote them with blindness, the Bible said there that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the problem said that the door is Christ. And we know the two angels today by prophetic explanation that it is Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and their children and grandchildren. And they are the ones that have come to smell the land with blindness. All the Pentecostal churches, all the denominations, they are smiting the people with spiritual blindness that they cannot find the door. And who is the door? Christ. And either though, they have come as close as to break the door. They were closer to the door. But from there, something turned their navigator to another direction. The door that was here, they are looking, going this way. They could never near the door. That is why you cannot get majority inside this message. Among the ones we get, the few ones we get, see, comprises may believer and non believer. So, Lot, his wife, and the two daughters. That just the four of them,
The other children of Lot that are married, Lot went to them to go and tell them of the message of the hour that angels have visited, this and that has come. They laugh. Angels. Abel, let's shift from here. Angels. Don't come with your funny message. The Bible said that his words look to them like a fiery tale. They just laugh at him. And he left. Then the angels brought them out and took them. This is how the wife of Lot was entering and coming in. Entering and coming in. I shouldn't forget the yarnik. Then, okay, that changed. I just bought last week. Then, what about the other issue? Okay. My powder. Okay. That lace. As he was entering and coming out, entering and coming out, the Bible did not say anything about the two girls. The emphasis was on Lot's wife. Then the angel jacked her hand. What mercy can God do anybody again than to force you to leave the place? And took them to the gate of the city and said, from here on, listen to instruction. Don't look back. Abraham said that was the church order that they were giving. Don't look back. Forward ever. Backward never. And but because the Bible said that where the treasure of a man is, that is where his heart will be also. The treasures of this woman that they have accumulated while they were in that place, her heart was pounding over this thing. How do these people that are saying that they want to burn the city, with what would they burn itself? And this message that we are just responding to anyhow, this emergency message, something we have labored for over several years. People say they want to burn it. Is it a reasonable message? I doubt if this message is true, sir. And all somebody's labor, all that one has put in, they are all in that place now. And they are driving us away from our property. And they are saying they want to burn the place. This and that and the other one. I don't understand this message of the hour. That's how the woman was battling with herself as she was going. Finally, when the doubt reached the peak, the Bible specified that she turned back to look over her left side, over her left shoulder, which is the place of the heart. Because this is where the heart is. So as she turned like this over that, because the heart does not believe. The heart was full of doubt. It was full of unbelief. She doesn't believe the angel's message. And as she turned like this, she said, I will only look. If I see that there is no smoke at all, I quickly look. This is an individual affair. I quickly run and pick a few more things, maybe. But as she turned like this one, then her head just stay like that. Like electrocuted. And that's right. Lot and the two girls. None of them looked to say that is mama still following us? Everybody, it was an individual affair. Nobody wants to know who they follow, not they follow. That is how this journey is. So that's why you used to think that if you don't want to go, don't hinder me. You cannot even hinder me. It's an individual affair. If you don't want to believe me, I believe. Yes, it's an individual affair. I know that in this generation that the pillar of fire came down. Yes, sir. I know that in this generation that the pillar of fire came down. Since in the days of Paul, that's when he came down last. And from that time till now, about 2,000 years interval, he came again in this our generation. If you don't want to believe me, I believe. And I believe the instruction of the message. I believe the doctrine. I believe everything about the message. That's where I stand. So if you don't want to go, you dry up by the way. That was what was happening in the wilderness when the 2 million people were going. One by one, they were dying. One by one, they were dying. One time, Korah group rose up, Dathan and Abiram. They said this thing, only Moses said, Moses said. Like people are saying today, this Abraham said, it tire person. If it tire you, you find your level. As for us here, it is either Abraham said, or nobody said. Isn't it written in the scriptures, in Acts chapter 15, that Moses had people that read him every Sabbath, that they preached Moses every Sabbath day, being read to the people. The majority of the Old Testament is Moses. Because after the five books of Moses, all the other subsequent were references to what has happened in those five books. So if you ever read the Old Testament, majority is Moses. If you don't want to hear Moses, close your Bible. They say, this Moses, Moses of 80. Everything Moses says. Everything Moses says. Everything Moses says. Everybody is holy here now. There are able ministers. We are saying we also have God's commission, this and that. Where were they when God was speaking to Moses? Where were they? They were being beaten in Egypt to mob blocks by the taskmasters. Who bound them not to make the blocks? It was when they were being beaten and their back is already peeling and bleeding. That's from where Moses came to bring them out. Now they go to the wilderness, now they can have mouth. They say this Moses is too much for him. That is the nature of human being now. That's how it is in this generation. When the pillar of fire was here operating in the prophet, everybody was quiet. Immediately he left the scene. Then people begin to talk. People go to, we also something, we also brother this, we also brother that. You will die in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit in every age. Who are this special group of people? Nobody of himself can put himself among them. Abraham said, you can't join them. He said, I have been in Abraham Tabernacle since I was born. I was not asked to come and join them. I mean, in Abraham family. But I was born inside. I was born inside. If you are not born into Christ, you will just be a friend, a sympathizer, an onlooker, a spectator along this journey. I was telling my family this morning that Christianity is something very simple. I think, okay, maybe I will read something here before we close. Very, very simple. But individual is the one that make it complex for themselves. And sometimes, we are not honest with ourselves, not to talk of being honest with God. We are not honest with ourselves. Like I was talking about conscience the other time. We are not honest with ourselves. We don't join crowd to just hold our amen like that. It's good to say amen, very wonderful. If you get it, you understand it, you say amen. But amen means so be it. It means that I agree with it. It means that I will live by it. And if you find out, maybe you have a question about the message, it is good to pause and ask questions so that you can be helped. Many have come to this message and have gone like Lot to settle down in denominations. And they have become whatever they are now. Let me tell you one. When we are in Osasam, one of our trustees that was there, he is now a chairman in a denomination. Then he was, one time, to the best of my knowledge, he was the treasurer. But the son is for now a minister in the message. But the father and the mother, they are going to settle down Belebu to inside denomination and say it's almost like the message. What is like message? There's nothing like the message. It's almost like message. I know of another family that settled down here for community. Some problem come and then the wife and children came and settled down in a denomination. I said it's almost like right. There's nothing like almost. Nearly cannot kill a bird. It is either it is exactly the message or it is not the message. That's all. Abraham said it in one of the messages of Jehovah Jireh. He said, if you believe, if you know you don't believe them, he said, stay far away from me because it will hurt you. He said, because it will hurt you.
May the Lord be gracious unto us. Right. Maybe I'll just pause it. Okay. Let me quickly. Okay. Let me quickly see if I can do a little here and then. Then I will read something to us that will close. I can see the time is. When the world has gone into sin through Adam and the rest of it, then the issue, the topic of redemption came out. Now the prophet told us that after the meeting that God had with conference that they had with Adam, with Eve, and then with the serpent, he took an animal and killed the innocent animal. He used the blood to cover their sin and the skin to cover their naked body. Remember that the first of all sow leaves, fig leaves, which Abraham called religion. God tear that one off. That religion cannot help you. Then he used this one to cover. And Abraham says, God dressed male and female different. When he made the man, he dressed him different. And he dressed the woman different that you can identify them from their dress. Today the world doesn't believe in that now. In some places you even see men now wearing earrings. You see them plait their hair. And I've even seen people that even wear skirts. Men that wear skirts. I know majority of you, almost all of you, have seen the women that wear trousers. But I'm telling you, I've seen men that also wear skirts. That is to tell you how everything has turned upside down. Those ones are still fine. There are hundreds and thousands of people that are walking almost naked. Male and female. On this earth. Especially among the white people. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. This subject of redemption came. Because God in the message, I mean the prophet in the message, the cruelty of sin and what it took God to rid sin from our lives. He said when Adam and Eve were leaving the garden, his heart was going after them. Then he called them back and made this atonement, wrapped them with something, and then he now put in gear this work of redemption. Already everything has been in his design before. But when the time comes, everything has to be unfolding according to what he already put in place. Then the issue of redemption comes. That is why in the law that he gave to Israel, he slaughtered in their approach, because that is the shadow that there is going to be the law of redemption. Redemption of lost property, redemption of human being that is sold to slavery. He put the laws there. And he said the land will not be sold forever. He put that in there. There is a reason why God put all those things there. He is talking about it because in the real image, his own children will not serve Satan for life. He's going to make a way to bring them back. That is why he put this law of redemption that if this one is able to redeem himself, he can. But in this spiritual something, but I even doubt it is possible physically. Because you that owe debt that make you to be sold to slavery. You see, inside the slavery, you now get money to come and pay the debt. Then he brought the law of the kinsman redeemer. And brought the qualities of the kinsman redeemer.
And in the Old Testament, they followed that law religiously. Then in this, in the real image of the thing, he himself is the kinsman that is going to redeem his own children. But by our natural birth, we have somebody that was closer to us, which was Satan. But Satan did not possess the qualities of the kinsman, of the kinsman redeemer, so he is disqualified. He has some of the qualities because it's related to us, but he does not have the virtue because the person must be upright. And Satan is not upright. He must have enough. He has nothing. Because what is needed to pay this one is the blood of God himself. Because every other blood that is lower than the blood of God cannot do the job. So Satan is disqualified. It's only him. He designed this thing because he knows that he's the only one that can do it. But it is to save his own children only. That is why he was called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Here comes the law of redemption. And then he came, that's how he became flesh. He has put everything the way we come, that we bypass the way that we came, that make us to be sinners by inheritance. Condemnation by representation. We came without a fighting chance. And we came condemned. He designed it that we come contrary to that way. So he has given it as a prophecy through Isaiah that a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and so on and so forth. He said, of his kingdom there shall be no end. He said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Finally, one day a virgin conceived. And that virgin conceived, and people did not believe the story. Even righteous Joseph find it hard to even believe the story. Nevertheless, God spoke to Joseph, fear not to take unto you Mary thy wife, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the Father of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. When he said, my Father, my Father, my Father, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And finally he was born. And while he was born, with from immaculate conception, he grew up. Finally, he has to start this work. And he went to the river to be baptized. When he got to John, John said, why are you coming to me? I need to have been baptized of you. He said, suffer it to be so. For thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. He suffered him. While he was baptizing him, the Bible said the heaven opened. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove and came and rest upon him. That's where Trinity also carved out something from lack of revelation. He said the three are complete. The Father was speaking from heaven. The Holy Spirit was descending. And the Son is gone. Father, Son. Father, Holy Spirit, Son. Even if you have checked their grammatical analysis well, they will have known that they didn't get error. Because he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. And then, this Holy Spirit, if it is different from the Father that is speaking, that will not be the construction of the word he will use. He will have said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am sending my Spirit to dwell in. We said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. So the one that spoke is the one that entered inside. And the prophet said that heaven and earth embraced. And when the time came, he yielded himself to be killed, the death of the cross. But before then, he has told the disciples, go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And as many as obey him according to Acts 5:32, he gave them the Spirit. Listen as we are closing. The prophet said, I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from Believing God. I read it before, but I think I just want to stress something there from paragraph 200 to 205. Listen. And God can't save you because he has already done it. The only thing you have to do is accept it. It's already done. I wasn't saved 20 years ago. I was saved 1900 years ago. But 20 years ago, I received it and accepted it. If it hadn't, the first thing I done, God will have wiped me off the face of the earth. Because he said he would. And he has to keep his promise. I was healed 1900 years ago, but I've got to accept it. And the only thing that kept me from being saved when I was 12 years old, because a spirit hung over me, a devil, saying, wait a little while longer. Now listen. That is the reason you wasn't saved. When you become the age of accountability, a spirit you got in the crowd, and that hovered over you and kept hanging over you. You wanted to do right. There is not a man that has got his right mind, but what wants to do right. But there is something who won't let you do right. Is that right? That is the devil. So up till now, as many as are not saved, a spirit is hanging on them, keeping them from surrendering themselves. Because Brother Abraham said, when the heart of anyone is ready, God step inside. How does your heart get ready? One, you repent. Two, you are baptized in water by mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. The other you have to do thereafter is to surrender yourself to God. Just as I have. I've made up my mind. And when you make up your mind, you actually, well, you know, this thing is operating only in our heart. Somebody may speak with the mouth and the thing is not here. That one, God knows. The person also have an idea. When you yield yourself totally to God and say, as a, look, let us say two people are fighting. When one beat the other one and the other one needs to surrender, he will know that I surrender. Because you know that this I cannot overcome this one. And until you become a Christian, you are at loggerheads with God. You are at loggerheads with God. You and God are fighting. You are fusing on his word, on his instruction. How many people fuse this morning before you pick a dress? This dress, they will say. But you yourself know that they will say. That's why you push it out. Aside. What make you say that? We say that your conscience is telling you that you are, you still want to be dressing to some places with immoral clothes. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost. It's a daily fight. If they see me here, then why did you go there? Your conscience had already told you that here does not befit a child of God. And then you went there. And you yourself, you are fighting with yourself that if they see me here. You know now. So your heart is condemning you. But you are not ready. If you are ready to surrender yourself, you will not even go anywhere that is questionable. And when you make up your mind, God knows. If two people are fighting and the other one surrender, really surrender, he knows he surrender. The person beating him know that he has surrendered. Say, I beg. See, I will not say anything again. I'm finished. Please, I surrender. You surrender until the person will say, okay, I surrender, I repented. When you yield up to God completely like that, and God actually know that you are ready, then he fills you with the Holy Spirit. Listen further. That is the devil. Hallelujah. Christ pay your healing and your salvation. Now here it is. You get ready. He commissioned his church to cast them out, devils. To cast them devils out. There you are. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Now, the preaching of the gospel, Brother Abraham says, is casting out of devil. Is that right? And Brother Abraham said that he has already saved you 2,000 years ago. As at this time was in it. He has saved you 2,000 years ago when he died. That's when he has saved you already. So it's a finished work. If you are ever going to be his own at all. And he has done finished the work of healing also. He said it is now remaining for you to accept it. But he's saying here that there is a devil that is hanging over you. And that is what now is the duty of the preacher by the preaching of God to cast out that devil so that you can have now the grace to be able to accept it. Listen as we read the remaining. We'll close now. There you are. In my name they shall cast out devils. You are not going to heal nobody. That is, he's telling. But you are going to cast the devil away from them so they can accept the healing I have already done. No man can heal another person. No man can fill another person with the Holy Ghost. But the entrance that is hindering the person from getting healed and from getting filled with the Holy Ghost, it is what the preaching of God's word has to remove so that the person can accept it. Preachers stood on the platform and preached the gospel. Devils scattered. The man come to the altar under conviction, say, I want to get saved. He never saved the man. He cast out the devil. That's right. And the man got saved. He come and accepted his salvation. The same thing by divine healing. You see people here this morning that believe and have been born again and are sons and daughters of God. Christ has already healed you. The only thing that keeps you from being well this morning is a spirit hanging over you that won't let you go out yonder and believe God's promise that you have done it. So that is the spirit the world deals with. That is the spirit that the world casts out. And when you heal yourself actually and the world casts this thing out of you, then you accept your healing, you accept your salvation, and it is permanent because when you are able to see what has been done for you, the matter is settled. Now that is my commission. That is what God gave me. It is what he gave every gospel preacher who believe, who will believe, the power and authority to break that spirit. We'll stop there. That is the preaching of the gospel. In the course of preaching, you will see people sleep. That is what they come to do. Oh, sure. That one, Satan has defeated that one like that. You know, this one is settled. Because he knew that if he will listen to this thing that is to be said, he will be delivered. And he knew that by their cooperation, either toe, the guy is not ready for deliverance. Now, Brother Brown said that when we are coming to church, there are preparations we have to make. If you make that preparation, praying for yourself, praying for the preacher, binding every spirit that will hinder you from receiving the blessing. When sleep is coming, you stand up and stand somewhere and shake yourself and be determined. You fight actually to make sure that no distractions come your way. You do everything. You are watching like Elisha was walking Elijah. This thing you are asking me, it will be so. If you see me when I go. If Elisha go and sleep, it will never be so. If you go and be knocking here somewhere or whatever, he is gone. If you say, I want to go and ease myself, he is gone. Because it will be that time that the child will come and pick Elijah. But the commission is, if you see me, say you have asked for a hard thing. Say, I want to receive the Holy Ghost today. You have asked for a hard thing. I want to be healed today. You have asked for a hard thing. But it will be so. Because God has given in his word, ask whatsoever you will, it will be given unto you. Ask, he shall receive. Seek, he shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. It's an open check he has given to you since he gave you invitation. But if you see the word of God as it is coming, if you can see the angel moving, hovering around the place when he comes to your side to give unto you the blessing you ask for, if you can see it, if you are not asleep by that time, if you have not wandered away by that time, if you have not strolled away from that time, if you are attentive, you are obedient, you pay strong attention, then it will be so. You have to follow every statement from the beginning to the end.
Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow. Oh, where he leads me, where he leads, he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, where he leads me, I will follow.
Garden.
Nations are breaking. Israel is awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold
that Gentile days are numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity will soon unfold. This one happened in Israel, we don't know what it will lead to. Russia is one side there, America is on the other side. When these wars begin to move and move, in the midst of it, the bride must leave to usher in the war, the full force of Armageddon. But before that, he has told the angels to hold the rod yet. That is why the whole thing is now yet on fire. So that those that will be sealed will be sealed. Do you hear your Savior calling? Will you go with him through the garden? Will you go with him through the judgment? If you are determined and prepared, he promised to give you grace and glory and go with you all the way. It's a privilege for us to sit and hear our Creator speak to us. Many is not given to them, but we are privileged. Is there someone that would like to be remembered in prayer? In this sober moment that we are, beside those at the altar, they came on their own volition. One thing or the other is in their heart. They have a request which only God knows and says while they are there. While your hands are up, will you just hold your request in your heart? There is nothing any man can do to delay God's timetable than the time he has allotted. When that time hits, you will see that the bell will ring. There's nothing I can do to delay it. If you are part of it, then get on board. Gracious eternal Father, Lord, we are before the mirror this morning. Your word has gone forth in righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the little portion that you have fed our souls with. It is a time of warning, Lord, for your children to get ready. The midnight cry is going forth. Dim your lamp, because the bridegroom cometh. Oh, Jehovah God, we are persuaded that you are the one that called each one of us that are here to come and dine at your table. And if you are the one that invited us, that called us, you said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. Master Jesus, may none of us fall into the category of Judas. May none of us fall into the category of the 70 disciples. May none of us fall into the category of the multitude. We are persuaded, better things of ourselves, that the ones you have called that have come here, that they are members of the bride, that they are your sheep, that they are your seed, your spoken seed word, Lord, we are persuaded that these are your eaglets in this generation that have heard the voice of the mama eagle. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Lord, this special group of people that you have called, may we see, oh God, this day, the fullness of the blessing you have paid for, and enjoy it, oh living God. Every spirit of unbelief, every devil that is hanging on your people, that is hindering them from receiving the Holy Ghost, hindering them from love being healed, hindering them from your blessings, hindering them from deliverance, your word is to cast out these devils. And by this word, and we are supporting it with these prayers, in the name of Jesus Christ, may the Spirit leave your people, oh Father.
day that they hardened us, come into plain view to accept your healing, to accept your salvation, to have the assurance of your spirit. Lord, from henceforth, oh God, may this demon depart from them in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Heavenly Father. May you stand by each person. May you uphold your people. Oh God of mercy, we can see Israel at war with the palaces. These are the things that we expect at this time. Lord, to show to us, and the Iran people are supporting the Palestinians, while the U.S. is supporting Israel. And those are the two powers that are shaking this world. They are Jesus. We pray that you help us, not just to hear those as news, but to know, oh God, that it's a warning that we have exhausted our time, Lord. You have given us enough time. You have given us ample opportunity. Some of us have been around this message for over 30 years. Oh God of mercy, do something for us, Heavenly Father. Have your way in our life, Lord. Oh Master, as many as you have feet, may you take them to higher eyes, oh God. Those that are not yet feet, may they have the assurance of salvation today in the name of Jesus Christ. Every sickness that you have paid for on the cross of Calvary will rebuke the devil that is hanging on them, oh Father, through fear, through uncertainty, through the fear of failure, in the name of Jesus Christ. May those spirit deliver your people, oh Father. May they be well, Lord. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Let all glory and honor be done. Let all the blessings be ours, your children. Thank you, dear Father. As many as lifted up their hands, whatever request is behind the hands, you are God that knoweth all things. May you grant it, Heavenly Father. Those that are at the altar, may you meet their needs, dear Father. Whatsoever your people have in their heart at this time, may you see those promises unto them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. May we never go back to the state we were before. From here, may we gain higher heights, Lord. May we make daily progress, oh Father. May we have testimonies to give of your deliverance and mercy. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Bless us as we dismiss for this afternoon. Prepare us for the next service, Lord. When we come again, send down your blessings again. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. Sister Annette, you are welcome. I saw you at the time I was already inside the preaching. I couldn't stop again. Welcome. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Our next service is 2 o'clock. For those who are in traveling and they are around, who will be happy to have you if you can be with us and enjoy God's blessings the more. As I've said, by Wednesday we have a visiting minister, and by Sunday also we also have a visiting minister. Praise be to God. Shall rise. Hymn number 266. Since Jesus came into my heart. Change in my life. possessed of a hope.
I'm possessed of a hope.
That is steadfast and sure.
Oh, see, Jesus gave me to my heart.
Go, another
class of doubt.
Now in my path, way of your.
See, Jesus gave me to my heart.
Oh, see, Jesus gave me to my heart. See, Jesus gave me to my heart.
Cross of John,
what my soul, like the sea.
Day may be tomorrow. That bright day.